All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Zayin. We are picking up on Kuf Vav Amud Beis Amar Rabbi Yochanan, which is 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Malachi Chavala. We'll say Shir this morning is dedicated. This month is dedicated by Yonah and Shoshi Ehrenfeld in commemoration of the upcoming yard site of Yonah's grandfather, Rabbi Gedalia Ben Yaakov HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Sham will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. So we'll say, let's begin. We're continuing a little bit with Doeg HaAdomi. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Malachi Chavala Nizdemdeno Lo Doeg. There were three Malachi Chavala, three destructive Malachim, who were summoned to go ahead and deal with Doeg. Echad Sheshachach Sheshichech Tamudo, one who caused Doeg to forget his name. Rabbos, remember again, this references back to the discussion of David HaMelech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in yesterday's daf, where David HaMelech davened that Doeg should forget his Torah in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be able to go ahead and punish him. Because as long as he had his Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam said that he was almost immune or protected from punishment. So the Gemara said, the Echash Asarif es Nishmaso, and one who went ahead and burnt his Neshama. We'll say, remember again, that notion of burning Neshama, also the Marav brings down, means the Yisod, that a person doesn't have a Chilek in Olam Haba. The Echash Shepizer Afra Bebate Knesis Bebate Midrashos. And one Malach who went ahead and scattered his ashes, scattered his remains, in Shuls and Bate Medrash. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Doig v'achitovel arav zeh. Bosei Rabbi Yochanan says, Doig and Achitovel never met each other. Now, Bosei, this is interesting because they don't live so far apart. Remember again, Doig, the Gemara says, Doig b'mei Shol. Doig lived in the time of Shol. Doig was one of Shol's major advisors. V'achitovel b'mei David. And Achitovel ultimately, again, lives in the times of David HaMelech. Now, remember, Achitovel was David's primary advisor. Michael. Can you help Mr. Martyr find his Gemara? Just help Mr. Martyr find his Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'achitofel be made David. And Achitofel ultimately, again, lived in the times of David HaMelech. V'amr Rabbi Yochanan, Doig v'achitofel, lochatz yimeyem. And the Gemara says, Doig and Achitofel did not live out even half of their lifetime. How do we know this? The Gemara says, because we'll see, remember again, we saw yesterday the Gemara quoted this pasuk that anshei damim umirma, people who are abusai, are murderers, deceitful individuals, do not live out up to half of their lifetime. So the Gemara says, how old were they? Ela shloshim va'arba shanim. Ela shloshim va'arba. Excuse me. Ela shadoeg lo hayu ela shloshim va'arba. Doeg only lived to 34 years old. V'shal Achitofel einan ela shloshim v'shalosh. And Achitofel ultimately, again, only lived until the age of 33. So we'll say again, representing the idea that a lifetime is 70 years. So both of them lived less than half of a lifetime. V'ab Rabbi Yochanan, b'tchila kar David Achitofel Rebbe. In the beginning, David called Achitofel his Rebbe. U'l'basof kar Achadero. Then he called him his friend. U'l'basof kar Talmido. And then Achitofel had such a downfall that he becomes like the Talmud. Like the Talmud of David HaMelech. We'll say another late-breaking sponsorship. The Efron and Levine families in honor of Yosef Herschel Efron's 94th birthday. Wow. May we all be strong and vibrant at 94. Mirav Levine's 32nd birthday. Does she know you just disclosed her age? Good. Okay. Well, we'll find out. Good. May her good name and good heart continue to grow for 120 years. The Yashikach to the Efron family for the sponsorship. So says the Gemara. So remember again, so Achitofel at first was David HaMelech's Rebbe. Then he was his friend, meaning friend being an equal. And then ultimately he ends off life being David HaMelech's Talmud, which means again he suffers a downfall. Ochel lachmi tap of kovzayim higdil alai akay. Fine. Amar Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav. The olam al yavi adam atzma l'dirso. We'll say. So now again, I actually meant to send this on the WhatsApp last night. We'll say we are about to engage in a dramatically, overwhelmingly profound Gemara. I'm mamish at a loss for words. How overwhelming. You're going to see this is one of the most yisodistic Gemaras in Shas, because I will say this Gemara over here is probably one of the foundational pillars of Tshuva. So watch this. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, the olam al yavi adam atzmo lidei nisayon. We'll say a person should never bring himself to the state of nisayon. We'll say what the Gemara is saying over here is a person should never be so confident in himself that he is beyond temptation, that he intentionally places himself in the pathway of Nisayon, in the pathway of a test, of a difficult, of a challenge. Shari David Melech, Shari David Melech Yisrael, Hevi Atzma Alidei Nisayon V'Nichshol. Because David HaMelech voluntarily placed himself in the pathway of a Nisayon, of a challenge, and he failed. And he failed. What happened, Rabbi Hosei? Amar Lefanav Ribono Sh'olom Mipnei Ma Orim Elokei Avram Elokei Yitzhak V'Elokei Yaakov V'Ein Orim Elokei David. So Rabbi Hosei, listen to this profound discussion. So David HaMelech says, Ribono Sh'olom, why is it that we say Elokei Avram Elokei Yitzchak V'Elokei Yaakov? Hey, mazel tov on the new vest. Hey, so why is it that ultimately again we go ahead and we say all of Elokei Avram Elokei Yitzchak V'Elokei Yaakov and we don't say Elokei David, right? Why don't we go ahead and make mention of David HaMelech? So the Gemara says, obviously, what's happening over here is the following. What's happening over here is, obviously, this is before the institution of Shemona Esrei. So no one's saying, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. What Darmach was asking is, why is it, Ribono Shel Olam, that you have a singular relationship with the Avos, yet that's different than the relationship you have with me? So in Shemona Esrei, Amr, Enu minasuli va'at lo minasisli. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, the Avos were all tested. They all experienced tests. They passed those tests. You, David HaMelech, have not yet been tested by me. So Amar the Father, Ribono Shel Olam, Bechaneni, Vinaseni, Shenemar, Bechaneni, Hashem, Vinaseni. David HaMelech says, bring it on. Ribono Shel Olam, test me. Test me. I'm ready. I'm strong. Come and test me. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar minasi lecha va'adidna milsa bahadach, dilidido lo. Why I should say the following. I'm going to test you, but I'm going to give you a benefit that I did not give to the Avos. What's the benefit? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, David, I'm going to give you something I did not give the Avos. I never warned the Avos about what their tests would be. And you, I'm telling you that your test is going to be in the realm of immorality. Your nisayon is going to be in the realm of immorality. So the Gemara says, Miad, what happens, Rabbi Hosei? So David HaMelech now is being told two things. Number one, that he's going to be tested. Number two, that it's going to be in the realm of morality, of his moral standards. So I'll say, so watch what happens. So Miad, Vahila Isa Erev, Vayakam David Me'al Mishkavo. So the Gemara says, so therefore it was the next day, right? But listen to this. La'isa, if it was at night, and David HaMelech got out of his bed. Now what's obviously intriguing over here? If it's the middle of the night, or if it's nighttime, why is David HaMelech getting out of his bed? And Rabbi Yehuda, Shahafach Mishkavo Shalayla L'Mishkavo Shalyom. We'll say what David HaMelech did was, literally, he switched his bed of the night with his bed of the morning. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Tap Rashi on the right-hand side. Shahavach mishkavo shalayla l'shayom, shayim shamish mitasso biyom, kedei sheyehei saveya mitashmish, velo yaharher achar isha kol hayom. So David HaMelech has a plan to be proactive. What does he do? David HaMelech has relations during that day. Why does he have relations during that day, Rabbi Hosei? The hope was that he would proactively satisfy his desire. And if he would proactively satisfy his desire, temptation would not overtake him when the Ribono Shel Olam was about to test him. But listen to this. V'nis alma mimenu halacha. But I will say he forgot a very profound halacha. What's the halacha? Eber katan yesh ba'adam. I will say there is a small part of man's body, right? A reference ultimately again to man's makom erva, meaning small part of man's body, a reference to the idea that it's one part of a greater body. Yet, masbio ra'iv, the more you satiate it, the hungrier it gets, umar ivo saveya. But the more you starve it, the more satiated it is. Say, which is another way of saying that when one constantly and consistently fuels or feeds the desire for intimacy, one only desires more intimacy. Right? The more the say that one abstains. Now obviously what does it mean abstains? Person says there's a mitzvah of intimacy with one's spouse. The idea is that the more that one engages in this in a proper context, bikdusho b'tara, then ultimately again one is satisfied from that relationship. So interestingly enough, David HaMelech Dafka's relations during that day, in order to go ahead and satiate himself with the hope that he would be able to withstand the challenge, but Lamaisa, it backfired a little bit because again, the more you satisfy that urge, ultimately the more the fire grows. So what happens? Vayishalech al gag beis hamelech, vayar isha rochetes mi al gag, vayisha tovas marem hod, So we'll say what happens. So he's therefore, it's the middle of the night, or it's not really the middle of the night, as we're going to see. It's the beginning of the eve, the beginning of the night. He's walking on his rooftop, and he sees a woman bathing on her rooftop, a beautiful woman. Bat Sheva, Hava Kachaifa Reshe Tusi Chalsa. So Bat Sheva, we'll say, now Chaifa Reshe literally means she was washing his hair. As we will see what this actually means, what she was preparing to go to the mikvah. And she was literally Tusi Chalsa means she was bathing underneath a covering. The idea is, we'll say, that you shouldn't think that she was just bathing in the open on her rooftop. The idea was she was behind some kind of sheet or behind some kind of covering. Asa Satan idmi lekitzi parto. So the Satan appears to David HaMelech like a little bird. Pasak begira. So David HaMelech shoots an arrow at the bird. Paska lachalsa. The rips through the curtain. Igle v'chazi miyad, and he sees Batsheva bathing. Now, both say, you know, the Mashal points out over here, there's a number of things that are strange about this. Why is David HaMelech shooting arrows at birds? Right? They both say, first of all, again, in general, you know, hunting is not something that, again, Jews do. Jews, right? From Jews, don't hunt. Hunt for food, but not hunt for sport. Why is David HaMelech famous? No Debi Yehuda. Somebody has to know Debi Yehuda, whether or not hunting is permitted. So he said, No Debi Yehuda said, listen, I can't tell you that it's Aser. What I can tell you is that it's the Midah of Esav. So that kind of sounds awesome, right? So the idea is, it's just a Jew doesn't do it. A Jew doesn't hunt for sport. You hunt for food. You hunt for if you need clothing, but you don't hunt ultimately again. So the Mashal points out that David HaMelech is shooting random arrows at birds. Furthermore, another reason why it also doesn't make sense is because Lamaisa, people are doing stuff on their rooftops. So just to recklessly shoot an arrow. Right? So the Mashal just points out the arrow itself was something so out of character. The fact that it pierces the sheet in this particular way. So he sees Batsheva. Miyad vayishlach David vayidrosh le'isha vayomer halozos Batsheva bas Eliyom eishes uri achiti. So David HaMelech immediately inquires about the woman and he finds out who she is. Vayishlach David malochim vayikachel. David HaMelech sends his messengers to bring her to the palace. Vatavo elav vayishkav ima vihimis kadeshes mitumasa. David HaMelech has relations with her, and again, the pasuk says he miskadeshet mitumasa means that she was not a nida. Vatashav el beisa, and ultimately she returns to her home. V'haynu d'chsiv, and Abba said this is the meaning of. So again, the Gemara is giving you the context now. The context of the episode of Batsheva is David HaMelech tempting or pushing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to test him, like he tested the Avos. David HaMelech trying to take proactive steps to pass the test, but ultimately ends up failing the test. V'haynu d'chsiv, and Abba said this is the meaning of the pasuk. When the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Bachanta libi," Ribono Shel Olam, you literally tested my heart. Pakarat alayla tzraftani bal timsa. You looked through my heart. You tried to forge me, but you found me lacking. Zamosi bal ya'avarpi. Ribono Shel Olam, listen. What does this pasuk mean? Zamosi bal ya'avarpi. I amar echo zimama nafal bepumei demand desanili v'lo amar kihanusa. We'll say this is a very profound statement. If only someone had muzzled me, and I would not have said the things that I said. Which I will say, first of all, we all have moments like that, right? If only somebody would have muzzled me, if only I wouldn't have said the thing that I said. But David HaMelech says, what David HaMelech is lamenting is that Lamaisi, he brought this upon himself. At the end of the day, he brought this upon himself. I mean, Ribono Shel Olam didn't test him, because Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that David wasn't ready. He knew that David couldn't withstand this thing. So Shabbos says, there are a number of profound yisodos in this. The profound yisod, number one, is the idea for soul. We'll see that David HaMelech is able to do tshuva from this. But also the idea, and it sounds a bit cliche, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't test us in ways that we cannot handle. That's the major message of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't visit this nisoyon upon David HaMelech because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that David couldn't handle it. David thought that he could. So he asks for it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that he can't. So he didn't give it to him. Amar, David of Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Adar Shrava, Ma'ay Dixiv La'Nateach L'David, Ba'Shem Chasisi, Eich Tomru L'Nafshi Nu Diharchem Tzipor. So we'll say, listen to this pasuk in Tehillim. So it's La'Nateach L'David, La'Nateach, of course, is to the conductor. We'll say, you know, that in Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And B'Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that he's not going to. In the absence of being able to build the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech wrote the music that would be sung by the Levitic choir. That's why, again, many of the kapitlach begin, Lamatzeh means to the conductor. To the conductor of what? It's to the conductor of the Levitic choir. David HaMelech often says in the beginning of a particular kapitel, what type of instrument is to be used. Sometimes he tells you what musical notes are to be used, but that was the yisod of Sefer Tehillim. If I can't build the Beis HaMikdash, at least I'm going to write the music for the Beis HaMikdash. So he goes on, he says the following, L'matzeach l'David b'Hashem chasis Yemosh, I put my faith in you. Ech tomru l'nafshi munudi acharchem tzipor. Don't let them say about my soul that the mountain was moved by a bird. What does that mean? Amr David b'Hashem l'shbar achli. B'Hashem l'shalom, we'll say third line down, third of the wide lines, kav zayin amad aleph. Forgive me for this sin. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for the sin with Bathsheba. Don't let the people say that a major mountain, the mountain is a reference to David. The mountain is a reference to his strength, but yet the mountain is moved by a bird. The bird being a reference to the Sata that appeared to David as a bird that caused him to shoot the arrow. So David HaMelech is saying, Ribono Shel Olam, forgive me. Forgive me, because ultimately, again, I recognize that there's an incredible Chil Hashem that's been perpetrated here. Darash Rav HaMaydich Siv, L'chol Levatcho Chatasi, V'arab Einech Asisi, L'ma Titztak B'davrecha, Tiske B'shavtecha. So what is the meaning of this pasuk? Ribono Shel Olam, to you, bless you, to you and only you have I sinned. I've committed that which is evil in your eyes, in order that you should be justified in your words. Tiske b'shavtecha. Amar David v'echadosh baruch hu. Listen to this one. This is a very interesting statement. Galya v'yadia kamach. God, you know. Dibay l'michpe l'yitzri hava kaifine. Ribono Shel Olam, you know that if I wanted to overcome my yitzer, I could. You know that if I wanted to overcome this test, I could have. Ella, Amina de lo lemru avda zachi de mare. But I wanted to make sure that people wouldn't say that David, that the servant, bested his master. Let's say, so what does that mean? Say, you know, I wanted you to look good. I took the fuck because I wanted you to look good. Say, so the Marashah points out something so beautiful. What does this mean? Torah says, Ribono Shel Olam, at least see the redeeming part of my act. What's the redeeming part of what happened? I am going to show the world for all eternity that yesh makom labali tshuva. That Rabbi said, no matter how badly you fall in life, no matter how great you are, and no matter how badly you fall, everyone has the ability to rebound. Everyone has the ability to pick themselves back up. If David Melech Yisrael, the father of the dynastic monarchy, the father of the messianic line, could fail so badly and then pick himself up again, then I both say that is the ultimate, ultimate message and ultimate confidence in the power of tshuva. Darash Rava, Maidich Siv, Ki Ani Letzel Anach Ona Machavi Negdi Samid. Supposed to listen to this. What is the meaning? Literally what it means is, and I am to the correct rib, or I am to the right rib, not right like right side, the correct rib, but my pain is opposite me at all times. What does this mean? Well, so listen to this profound Gemara. And Bathsheba and David were predestined to be with each other. Meaning there's no question that Bathsheba was David HaMelech's Bashert. So meaning she was predestined to him from the 6 days of creation. And we'll say, how do we know that? How do we know that? Oh, because remember, again, I will say, if that wasn't true, then the offspring of David and Bathsheba's union would not have been chosen by God. Remember, David has other wives. Yet, amazingly enough, it's Davka Shlomo. It's Davka Shlomo, the progeny of David and Bathsheba, who was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ultimately be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. Not only that, David and Bathsheba name him Shlomo. The Ribono Shel Olam names him something. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu name him? Yedidka, the beloved one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's clear, Chazal understand, that there's no question that David and Bathsheba were supposed to be together. So what was the problem? The problem wasn't the union. The problem was how the union began. The problem was literally, again, with the scandal, the machov, the pain, the difficulty, the scandal that took place. So David and Bathsheba were always destined to be together. Ela sha'achla paga. Well, says Achla Paga literally means that he took her before she was ripe. I will say, which means, again, the same way that a person picks off a fruit from the tree before it's ripe, the fruit is not good. If you just give it a little bit more time, it'll ripen. So David HaMelech just acted hastily. He just acted before the correct time. Darash Rava, Ma'idich Siv, Uvitzali Samchu Ben Esafu, Nesu Alani Chimelo Yadati, Karu Velo Damu. Well, say, listen to this profound Gemara. Amar Dalaf Ne'achadosh Baruch Hu. Well, say, get ready for this. David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Galui v'yadua lifanecha, shim hayu korin b'sari lo hayo dami shoseis. You know that even if somebody, as they say, if they were to prick me, I would not bleed. It's like, why not? Adamach was saying is, I've been so humiliated by this act that like the blood has drained over us when a person is embarrassed. So sometimes people get very red and sometimes people turn pale. David HaMelech says, I've been so humiliated that I'm pale. The blood has just drained out of me. If somebody were to cut me, I would not bleed. I'm supposed to listen to this. When I walk into the Beis Medrash, and whenever they're learning a sugya about the Arba Misos Beis Din, the four types of death penalties, poskim the Mishnah son, the people in the Beis Medrash purposely stop their conversation when they see me. And they say to me, David, ha-ba'al ishes ish misaso bima, and they taunt me. They taunt me. And they say, by the way, King David, if someone commits adultery, so how is he punished? And David says, I tell them, Amarti lahem, and I tell them, you're right. Somebody who commits adultery is punishable by chenek, by strangulation. But you know what? But the good news is, he still has a portion of the world to come. But if you embarrass someone publicly, then you have no portion in the world to come. So you have to understand something. David HaMelech, I often say, and I tell him Shasika about this often, David HaMelech, you have to understand, has every single problem in life except for one. Right? What's the one problem he doesn't have? Parnasa. Right? Baruch Hashem. He makes a good living as king. He's got plenty and plenty of money. Every other problem he has, and one of the incredible things that he had to contend with, were not just external enemies, but enemies on the home front, antagonistic people that he had to deal with every single day, who would never let him move on from the mistakes of his past. Am Rav Yehuda Marav, Afilu B'Shas Chelyo, Shel David, Kiyem Shmona Asar Onos. We'll say, Navi Gemara tells us something interesting, that even when David HaMelech was ill, when he was old, he fulfilled the marital obligations towards his 18 wives. Both say there's mitzvah of ona, which means that a husband has an obligation of a certain frequency of marital relations with his wife. Remember again, we saw this in Ksuvus. What does this depend on? It depends on what you do for a living. It depends on your parnasa, which ultimately dictates how often you are home. So depending on what you do for a living, ultimately dictates the schedule, the frequency of marital intimacy. The Gemara says, David HaMelech was careful with the covet of his wives, and because he was careful with the covet of his wives, he fulfilled his obligations of ona even in his old age, even when he was ill. Shene emar, yagati ba'an chasi, ascha b'chalai lamitasi, bedimasi arsi amser. This is amazing. Normally we assume that this pasuk refers to David HaMelech soaking his bed with the tears of his difficulty. The Gemara is understanding over here that it's actually a metaphor for his continuing an act of marital intimacy even when he was older, even when he was afflicted. These Gemaras, I'm telling you, are like, they're wild. So Rav Yehuda, this is the name of Rav. David HaMelech wanted to worship Avodah Zarah. I'm also going to give you a little bit of context over here. Context over here is Avshalom rebels. As we're going to discuss, as part of the fallout for the episode with Bathsheba, so David HaMelech is given a number of different punishments. Among them is that someone from his own family is going to rebel. That punishment actualizes in the form of Avshalom's rebellion. So Avshalom's David's son, we'll discuss this in greater depth in just a little bit, rebels against David. David will not fight against his son Avshalom. He will not raise. So what does he do? He flees Yerushalayim. Now, Bosai, in the beginning, it's pretty clear that David's going to lose. It looks pretty clear, especially since what? Since he's not going to fight. He's not going to go to war with his son. So it looks pretty clear that he's going to lose this battle, that he's going to have to abdicate the throne. David HaMelech is worried about the Chil Hashem. So he says, what's going to happen if people see me and they see that Avshalom's overtaking me? So David HaMelech makes a consciousness, which is incredible. He says, you know what? I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah. Now, I'm not really going to worship it. I don't really believe in it. But at least externally, I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah. That way, when I lose to Avshalom, people will at least attribute my loss to what? To my Avera of Avodah Zarah. Masha Inkein, if I don't do anything, people will just see, or people will feel that perhaps God is unjust, delivering the righteous King David into the hands of his corrupt son Avshalom. So David says, I'm going to take one for the team. I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah, klapei chutz on the outside. You say, people will see that my downfall was due to my mistake. Shnei Amar, Vay David ba ad arosh, asher yishtach avasham leilukim, la'or shtei leiluhim. Vein rosh el Avodah Zarah, Shnei Amar, v'utsalma reishe di dov tov. V'hinei lekrasel chushay arki. karua kusanto ve adama arosho. So we'll say Hushai Arki comes and meets David, and Hushai, his clothing is torn. There's dirt on his head as a sign of mourning for what has happened to David HaMelech. Amarlo le David, Yomru Melech shekamoscha yavod avadazara. So Hushai essentially says, David, what are you doing? What are you doing? And start worshiping Avodah Zarah. And say, David Melech Yisrael is worshiping Avodah Zarah. You can't do this. Amar lo, Melech Shekimosi Yehargenu Bino. So then I'm asking, what's the option? The other option is a king like me is going to be killed by my son. Mutav Yavod Avodah Zarah. V'ayis Chaloshim Shemayu Farhasya. Better for me to worship Avodah Zarah. That way, when I die, when I'm killed by my son, people will attribute my downfall to the Avodah Zarah. Masha'inkin, if I don't worship Avodah Zarah and I die at the hands of my son, people will feel that God lacks proper justice. Amar my time, so Hushai ben Arki says the following. Hushai Arki says, listen, let's take a step back, David. And I don't mean, you know, we'll say, sometimes you have to have a difficult conversation with someone. And, you know, they have to hear it. They have to hear it, but you have to know how to say it. So we'll say, look what Hushai Arki says. My time, kanisibas yifastoar. David HaMelech, can I ask you, why is it that you married a yifastoar? Right? Why is it David HaMelech, some of his wives were Yefetoar, were war brides? So why is it that you married a war bride? Amar Leh, David says, one second, Yefastoar Rachman Shaye. War bride is totally permitted. So Hushai Arki, Amar Leh, Lo Darash Desmuchin. David, I just want to suggest that maybe in the future, when you look for a pasuk in the Chumash, maybe look at what comes after it also. Because we'll say, what happens right after the section of Yefastoar? The Samech Leh, Kiel Ish Ben Sorer Umora. Kalanose Isha Yefastoar, Yesh Ben Sorer. We'll say, that juxtaposition is not haphazard. Right after the section of Yefastoar, the Torah speaks of Ben Sorer, the rebellious son, to tell you that if you marry a woman like this, the progeny is going to be difficult. So what Hushai Arki was saying to David HaMelech was, you don't have to worry about Techel Hashem. Everyone knows that Avshalom was the son of a Yefas Toar. So people are going to understand that his midos, or his lack thereof, Rabosai, are embedded somehow in the nature of this union. So don't worry about the Techel Hashem, that people are going to think that God is not just. People are going to understand that unfortunately there is a son who is just acting recklessly and inappropriately, and that is somehow linked to ultimately, again, his background. Darashab Dostoy, Dimin Biri. Lama David Dome, Rabosai, what could David HaMelech be compared to? This is interesting. L'socha Kusi. David HaMelech is like a Kusi merchant. I will say, what's the pshat with a Kusi merchant? So if you look at Rashi on the left-hand column, about halfway down, socha Kusi, Darko lifnos escharosa ma'at ma'at lahamida adam wa'at. So listen to this. So the Kusi merchants have an interesting strategy for moving their wares. They don't try to sell large quantities. Instead, what they do is they sell small quantities at small prices. Person thinks they're consistently getting a discount, but at the end of the day, they end up buying a lot more merchandise. So we'll say, that's another way of saying is David HaMelech knew that sometimes it's best to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for small things at different intervals, and ultimately, as opposed to asking for a lot at once. Samar Dav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dav says to Ribbono Shel Olam, Shkios Miyavin, Ribbono Shel Olam, forgive me for my Shkios. What's the Shkia? Shkia is an accidental Aveira. Amar Leh, Shviki Lecha. Ribbono Shel Olam says, forgiven. Uministaros Nakeni, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go ahead and forgive me for my hidden sins, the sins that only you and I know about. Shviki Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, forgiven. Gam Izeidim Chasho Chavdecha. Ribbono Shel Olam, forgive me for my intentional sins. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shviki Lecha. We'll say, first of all, Ashrei Adam, who has such a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to say, this instantaneous conversation is incredible. Next. Al Yimshalu bi as Esam, Delo Lishta be Rabbanan. So David HaMelech says, Yibon Shalom, let it be that the Rabbanan, the Chazal, don't talk about me, and don't spend too much time, or in the base Medrash, also they don't talk about me. Shviki Lecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, forgiven. Go ahead and literally cleanse me from my great sin. So David HaMelech says, don't let my sin be recorded in Tanakh. Can you just expunge this story? Amar lo i'afshar. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry, that I can't do. But say, listen to this, and get ready. Parshas HaShavua. Umayud shenatalti misarai. Hashem says, I took the yud from Sarai, right? When I changed her name to Sarah, vitzavach kamashanim, and that yud was complaining to me all of these years. You took me out from Sarai, and where you're going to put me? At sheba Yehoshua vosafti lo shenemar veikr Moshe lo sheben in Yehoshua kol aparsha kula achas kama vekama. So Hashem says to David HaMelech, listen. One little yud was upset at me that I removed him from the name of Sarai. Until generations later, I added him to the name of Yehoshua. So what am I going to do with an entire section of the Navi? So David HaMelech, I'm sorry, I can't expunge that story. And both sides, of course, on a deeper level, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ultimately telling him was, listen, the story is important. As we said before, the story is important, both sides, because this story gives hope to every single Baal Tshuva. What this story tells us is, number one, even great people make dramatic mistakes. But again, even from the most dramatic of mistakes, you always have the ability to pick yourself up and rebound. So the Shparuch says, I'm sorry, I can't erase the story. I could forgive you for the sin, but I can't erase the story. So the Gemara goes weiter. I'm really Father Ribbono Shel Olam. Mecholia Osavim. The Shparuch, forgive me for the episode of Batsheva. Amar, Kavar Asid Shlomo Bincha Lomar Bechachma. So, Hayich, so both say, so Shlomo, in the future, I'm sorry, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, David, in the future, your son Shlomo is going to write the following pasuk. Hayichate ish, ish b'cheigo, u'begadav lo tisrefenu, could a man stoke a fire by his chest, and his clothing not get singed? Im yahalich ish al gecholim v'ragel lo sechavena, if he walks on coals, will his feet not get burned? Kein abo al ish es re'ehu, so to one who has relations with his friend's wife, lo yinakeh kolen ogeba, ultimately, again, cannot be cleansed. Cannot be cleansed anyone who touches her. So also the idea over here that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to David is, at the end of the day, you want me to forgive you for this sin, but yet again, there's a ripple effect from this. This is a terrible avera. Amar le kohachi nitra dahu gavra. So David HaMelech says, what should I do, essentially? What do you want? So what am I supposed to do? I'm just condemned to live out my life in this state of sin. Amar le kibel alecha yisuri. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to David, are you willing to accept upon yourself suffering? Suffering purges a person. Suffering cleanses a person. You're willing to accept upon yourself suffering. So the Gemara says, keep it off. David HaMelech accepted upon himself suffering. Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, Shisha Chadashim Nitzdar David, V'Nistakim Enashchino, Pershim Enasanhedrin. For 6 months, David HaMelech became a Metzora. He was stricken with us. And as a result, the Shechina left him, and as a result, the Sanhedrin separated themselves from him. Tichsev, Tichat Ini Be'ezo Ve'atar, Tichabseni U'mishelek Albin. Nistalkem and Oshchina. So we'll say, the Gemara is just quoting a pasuk to teach you about each of these things. So we'll say, so therefore, again, that's the pasuk for Teras. Nistalkem and Oshchina, Tichsev, Hashiva Li Sasson Yishechav Ruach Nediva Tismecheni, U'pirshim and Sanhedrin, Tichsev, Yashobu Li Yirecha, Shishach Hadashim, we'll say, how do we know it's for 6 months? Tichsev, V'hayom Mashar Malach Tavar Al Yisrael Arbaim Shana, V'chevron, on the base. Lecherah Malach Sheva Shanim, Birshay Malach Shloshim V'Shalosh Shanim. So we'll say the pasuk says that in Chevron David Malach reigned for 7 years, and Yerushalayim reigned for 33 years. Uksev Bechevron Malach Al Yehuda Sheva Shanim V'Sheish Chadashim. V'Hani Shish Chadashim Lo Kachosh Shanim Nasar. So we'll say, interestingly enough, two pesukim. One pasuk says David Malach reigned for 40 years, 7 years in Chevron, 33 years in Yerushalayim. The other pasuk says that he reigned for 33 years in Yerushalayim, 7.5 years in Chevron. What happened to the 6 months? Elamai, what do you see? The 6 months ultimately, again, both were the 6 months that David HaMelech was in Metzora. Amar Lefanav. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakom Yeh Bidvaro. Both listen to this. Amar Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam. Again, it's an incredible, incredible gemara. Mecholia Osavin, Baruch Hashem, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. Mecholecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, forgiven. You're forgiven. You accepted. You surrender upon yourself. You did tshuva. You accepted responsibility. You are forgiven. Aseimi Os Latova. V'yiru Sonai Ve'evoshu. Ki Ato Hashem Azatai V'nicham Tani. So also listen to this. Next thing Dov says is, Ribono Shel Olam, give me a sign. Give me a sign. Meaning, everyone thinks that I'm a sinner. You're telling me that you forgive me. Give me an observable sign of your forgiveness. Let other people see that you've forgiven me as well. Amar Li, Bechayecha Eini Modia, Aval Ani Modia Bechay Shalom Bincha. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says something very interesting. David, I'm not going to give you a sign during your lifetime, but I'll give you a sign during the lifetime of your son Shalom. So we'll say, for various reasons, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although he forgave David during David's lifetime, would not give David the objective or visible or public sign of divine forgiveness. That sign only comes later in Shlomo's life. We'll say, listen to this, my son. incredible. B'shasha v'an Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash, or Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash, b'kesh l'hachnis, on the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Shlomo Melech wanted to bring the Aron into the Holy of Holies. Dovku sharim zeh bazeh. The gates of the Beis HaMikdash would not open. Would not open. They stayed shut. Amar, su'ushar moshecha minaschu pischei olam. So Shlomo Melech is davening, he's saying to him, he's saying all these beautiful tefillos, but the gates are not opening. Kevan Sha'amar, listen to this. Hashem Elokim, al tarshei p'nei mishichecha. So as soon as Shlomo Melech says, or I'll say first wide line, Ribono Shel Olam, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. Zachra lechasti David avdecha. Remember, David, your servant, miyad na'ana. Rebbe said, what happened? The gates open. So Rebbe said, remember again, who's assembled? Who's assembled? All of Klal Yisrael is assembled. And the gates only open when? When Shlomo Melech invokes the memory of his now deceased father, David. Rebbe said, what did the people see in that moment? The people saw in that moment that David was forgiven for his chait. Miyad, Jesus goes to Shah. In that moment, all of David HaMelech's antagonists, all of his enemies, their face became blackened like the bottom of the pot. I mean, they became ashen-faced. The idea is they realized that they were wrong for persecuting David, that God had in fact forgiven David. So that's the end of the David HaMelech. So what you're saying, there's so much to speak about. There's so much about David HaMelech as a person. There's so much about Tshuva. Incredible. Gehazi. Let's go back to now. Gehazi. Remember again, Gehazi was the other person who does not have a chilchon olam, but Gehazi was the attendant of Eliyahu HaNavi. So we'll say, what happened with the Gehazi? V'chse v'yelech Elisha Damasek. So we'll say, ultimately again, Elisha went to Damasek, went to Damascus, l'hecha azul. So we'll say, why did he go to Damasek? On Rabbi Yochanan, shalach l'hachzer Gehazi b'tshuva. V'lochazer. So Elisha went to get Gehazi. We'll say, we'll discuss this story. But Gehazi was pushed away, so Elisha went to get him to come and do tshuva. But Gehazi would not come. He would not return. Amar lo, chazor b'cha. So Elisha says, Gehazi, do tshuva. Amar lo, kach mikublai mimcha. He says, Rabbi, I can't. I have a mesorah from you. Hacholti umachti esarabim in maspik miyad alasos tshuva. The Rebbe says, it's actually very profound. If somebody goes ahead and sins, and not only that, but causes the public to sin, they can't do tshuva. It's actually incredible yisod. If I do an Avera, I can do tshuva. But if at the end of the day I cause others to sin, I can't do tshuva for that. I can't do tshuva for that. So I will say, my Ovid, what did Gehazi do that caused others to sin? Ika da amri evan sho'eves tala lechata siravam, da emida in sharayim la'aretz, v'ika da amri sham chak, or sham shame, chakak b'fiyah, v'aysam machrezes v'omeres anochi v'lo yelucha. So I will say, listen to this. So some say that what he did was the following. You know, Yeravim and I were speaking about this on Shabbos. Yeravim and Nevat built golden calves in Malchus Yosef, the Shungal Yerushalayim. So some say that what Gehazi did was he put metal plates on the golden calves and he took a powerful magnet and he caused the calves to like levitate, giving Klal Yisrael the impression that what? That they were divine. Others say that he took the Shem Hashem, put it in the mouth of the calf, and the calf began to speak. Either way, for some reason, he went ahead and he made the general populace think that the calves were powerful. Vika Damri, others say, Rabbanan Dacha Mikame, that ultimately, again, he distanced the Rabbanan, which are basically Tamid Chachamim, or general Tamidim, or prophetic students. He kept them away, ultimately, from Elisha. How do we know this? So the Gemara says, Vayomru B'nei HaNavim El Elisha, Hinina Amakum Asher Anachnu Yoshim Shem Lefanachem Lefanachem Tzamimenu, Mechlal Dad Hashta Loha, because the Rabbanan, interesting enough, after Gehazi was no longer on the scene, the Tamidim said to Elisha, there's not enough room for everyone to sit. Which seems to infer that what? When Elisha was there, there wasn't enough room. Why was Elisha there? There wasn't enough room. Because Elisha kept the Tamidim away. He kept the students away. Which, of course, was a disservice to the Tamidim because they weren't able to learn from Elisha. Tan Rabbanan. Rabbi Yosef Gemara says a profound statement. Le'olam te small docha v'yamin mekareves. Rabbi Yosef saying, sometimes in life you have to push someone away. Sometimes in life a person has to be kept at a distance. But when you do that, make sure to push them away with the left hand. I'm a lefty, but with the left hand and bring them close with the right hand. The idea is you have to push a person away while at the same time simultaneously keeping them close. Lo ke Elisha. And what's this? The Gemara says, not like Elisha Navi. Shadachfu legechazi b'shtei adayim. Because Elisha pushed Gehazi away with two hands. And because he pushed Gehazi away with two hands, therefore what? Therefore Gehazi, Abba say, never did tshuva. Gehazi felt totally excluded. Gehazi, the Gemara says, Gehazi dechsev, vayomer Naaman. So we'll say, what happened with Gehazi? Vayomer Naaman. Hoil, the kach kikarm, vayifratz, vayiftzar bo, vayitzar kikarm kesef. So we'll say, listen to this. So remember again, we know the story. Naaman, who was one of the generals of Aram, is stricken with saras, stricken with leprosy, can't find a remedy. Comes to Elisha. Elisha tells him, bathe in the Jordan River. Naaman does it. We'll discuss this story in greater depth. He's healed. He wants to give Elisha money. Elisha says, no thank you. Doesn't want anything. Naaman leaves. Gehazi runs after Naaman. And Gehazi makes a terrible chal Hashem and he says, you know what? My master's changed his mind. He would like all of the gold and silver. Right? Naaman says, of course, gives him all the gold and silver. Gehazi takes it for himself, hides it away. We'll say, watch this. Vayomer Naaman. I'm sorry. Vayomer lev Elisha. Me'an Gehazi. So now Gehazi comes back after getting the money from Naaman. And Elisha says, Gehazi, where were you? Where were you? Amar lo halach abdechan avan. I didn't go anywhere. I've been here the whole time. He says, first of all, Kal Gadol is, don't lie to the prophet of God. It's never going to work. It's never going to work. So we'll say, what happens? So we'll say, Elisha says, are you kidding me? Was my heart not with you when the man on the chariot turned around and gave you all of his honors? Elisha says, my God, man, I am a prophet, right? This is what I do. So I know exactly where you were. I know exactly what you did. Now, also, the interesting part is over here. He says, I was there when Naaman gave you the silver, the clothing, the olives, the vineyards, the sheep, the cattle, the servants, and the maidservants. He says, what are you talking about? Did Gehazi take all of this stuff? All Gehazi got was kesef ubegadim udeshakol. He got silver and clothing. What is the meaning of all this other stuff? At the time that Gehazi left, Elisha was teaching the parak of Shmona Shratzim. Elisha was teaching about the laws of Tumen Tara. We'll say, what happened? Naaman sartzva aram haya mitzora. So Elisha and Gehazi are learning, happens to be the parak of Shmona Shratzim, which is learning the laws of ritual purity. As they're learning, what happens? Mostly like a split screen. Back in Aram, Naaman has been stricken by tzaras. What happens? No one could heal him. There was a certain Jewish girl who was taken captive and from Eretz Yisrael was now in Aram. And she says to the following, if you go to the prophet of the Jews, Elisha, he will cure you. Kiyasa, Naaman comes there, so he comes to Elisha. So he says to Naaman, go immerse yourself in the Jordan River. Naaman says, are you kidding with me? In other words, we'll say, Naaman says, that's it, come on, I've immersed in all of the rivers, right? Don't tell me that I'm immersed in the Jordan River. Are you playing games with me? So listen to this, we'll say, so Amri leha no dahava bahadeh, my nafka lochamine, zil nasi. So the people who traveled with Naaman said, what's the big deal? If he's telling you to immerse in the Jordan, then what? Just go immerse in the Jordan. What, it doesn't hurt. So Azov Atava Biyadein. If it's the, was it sure enough he went ahead and he immersed himself in the Jordan River? And what happened? He was healed. Asa Isi Liko Hani Dinaki. So Naaman takes out all of the possessions he brought with him, and he wants to give it to Elisha. Lotzav the Kabbalimine, but Elisha doesn't want it. Gehazi Iftar Mikamei, Elisha. Azov Shakel Magdu Shakel Ve'ifkid. So we'll say what happened. So we know the story. Gehazi then runs after Naaman and takes whatever he took and he hid it. Ifkid means he hid it away. So I'll say, when Gehazi came back, Elisha saw that Gehazi had some tzara'as on his forehead. Amarle Rasha. So Elisha realizes what happened over here. He says, Gehazi, you Rasha, hegia eis litol schar shmona shratzim. So ultimately, again, you had so much schar waiting for you in Olam Haba because of all the Torah you learned. Right? Schar that would have been equal in this world to all of the riches. That's what Elisha said before about the avadim, the shvachos, the zesim, and now, unfortunately, You just took all of your reward in this world. And I will say ultimately again, the tzaraas of Naaman then sprouted upon Gehazi, and I will say, and his sons as well, and he becomes a matzar for the rest of the day. So we'll say, Gehazi at this point in time becomes an outcast, becomes a pariah, and unfortunately, again, the Gemara says, Elisha dealt a bit too harshly with Gehazi. Watch an incredible yisod. Even when people do something wrong, there is a way to deal with them, and the way to deal with them is you push them away with the left, but you bring them back with the right. Again, the Navi says, there are four people sitting outside the gate of the city. Who were they? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gehazi Yoshua Gemara. But remember again, this goes back to our Mashiach Gemaras, right? Remember again, if one of our Mashiach, where is he? He's with the Mitzorim, sitting at the outskirts of the city. The Mitzorim, they lived by the gates. They could not live with everybody else. So the four people sitting outside of the gates of the city was Gehazi and his three sons, all of whom were stricken by tzaraas. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Shimon says, it's actually another profound Gemara. Yetzer tinok v'isha. I've also, when it comes to your Yetzer hara, children and women. Teismol docha v'amin mekarev. Shimon says, this is an amazing. So what does Yetzer mean? So take a look at Rashi. Shimon says, it's like halfway down in Rashi. Yetzer ta'avaso. Imarchika mena legamre, memait yeshivas olam. Memekarva legamre, bolid yetzer. Shimon says, when it comes to man's drive for sexuality, so a person has to deal with that in a very sensitive way. What does that mean? To say that I'm going to totally squash this desire, that's not good. Because the world can't exist. Person can't have a loving, harmonious, and fulfilling marriage. But yet at the same time, to go ahead and focus too much on that desire ultimately will lead one to sin. So a person has to approach with a sensitivity. We'll say, then the Gemara says something absolutely amazing. Tino Kvish Rashi says, Daitan Kala. We'll say, this is amazing. So what does it mean that it says, when it says that women and children are Daitan Kala? We'll say, Daitan, you know what Daitan Kala means? It means sensitivity. It means that when you deal with women and children, understand that there is a sensitivity that often men don't. And I will say, we don't need a Gemara to tell us this, because we understand that there are certain things that you could say to another man that you should not say to a woman, not because it's, but simply because of the sensitivity, which I will say is part of the koach of Isha, part of the beautiful innocence of a child, that there's a sensitivity there. So Chazal are telling us over here that there are certain things that you have to handle with additional care. Among them, how you deal with your yetzer, your desire ultimately for sexuality, and with women and children. So Gemara says, "Smell fire." Turn up on Gimel Chalom Chal Elisha. We'll say Elisha became sick three times. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Taste small doch of yamikravis. You should push it with the left hand, bring close with the right hand. Which we'll say just means handle with care, handle with sensitivity. Turn up on Gimel Chalom Chal Elisha. Elisha became sick three times in his life. Echad shegira dub metinog. So we'll say one time, because literally again, because of his anger, he brought about bears came and attacked children. I will say. Now, Bepashas, it wasn't children. It was adults who acted like children. But as people who made fun of Elisha, Elisha got upset, and ultimately, again, they died. The Echad Shedach Vala Gehazi Ushtayadayim, he got sick because he pushed away Gehazi with two hands. The Echad Shemespo. And one time he became sick, that last illness was the illness from which he died. Ad Avram Lohaya Zikna. Well, so listen to this. Until the time of Avram Avinu, there was no such thing as old age, meaning people didn't age. They didn't age. Kol Gehazi Avram, Amar Hayitzchak, Kol Gehazi Yitzchak, Amar Hay Avram. Well, say people got to a certain age and they stopped physically aging. To the point that if you saw Avram, you thought it was Yitzchak. If you saw Yitzchak, you thought it was Avram. What happened? Bar Avram Rachami Delehavi Le Zikna. Avram davened for old age, that people should age, so they should look different as they age. Shene'emar, v'Avraham zekim b'Avraham. So what's Rashi points out, why is this? Because Avram realized that people will only honor the elderly if what? If what? If they look old. But if everybody looks young, no one's going to honor the elderly. So in order to get people to honor the elderly, Avram davened for aging. Ad Yaakov lahava chusha. Until Yaakov, you know, said no one ever got sick. I'm sorry. God, no one ever got sick. Bar Rachmi v'havachusha. Yaakov inu daven, and ultimately again there was sickness. Shene emar v'yomer liyosef inu avicha chola. We'll say, what's the idea? So again, the Medrash brings down that people used to die. They would sneeze and they would die. They would sneeze and they would die. Yaakov inu daven for sickness, because ultimately again, a person who knows the end is near, they can prepare themselves, they can get their affairs in order, and they can prepare their mishpacha. Ad Elisha lo hava inish chadash mi'dimiftach. We'll say up until Elisha, there was no one who ever recovered from like a deathbed illness. Va'as Elisha barach mebe iftach, v'ispach. Elisha was deathly ill, but he davened and ultimately was healed. Shene'emar, ve'Elisha chala es chayu asher yamos bo. Elisha became sick with the illness that he would die from, which I will say ultimately indicates that he was sick before, but davened for a rekuah. Hashem Eima. Let's say Shkab, somebody will pick up a Pirates Hashem with the Mishkan tomorrow.
I mean, this thing about inventing that dollar. You know what? I slipped. I forgot myself.